Welcome to the Editor's Weekly Podcast. This is episode 20, and we're talking about what we've been up to, what we're playing right now, what we plan to be playing since it's almost Christmas time. So, we're joined today by Associate Editor Jamie Mosley.
Hey, what's going on?
And this is Editor-in-Chief Lindsay Mosley, and we are just sitting around talking about gaming. We've been away for a little while, but we got time to sit down and talk about some stuff. What say you, sir?
Oh, not too much. Just sitting around playing lots and lots of Borderlands, because I think it's like one of the greatest games out there right now, because that's just how I am. So...
Yeah, I'm playing Borderlands with you, though. That's the thing. We're playing through Borderlands together. So, let's just start out and say, we're playing Borderlands right now pretty heavily together. We're actually doing the co-op aspect of Borderlands. And if you recall, episode 18 was the Borderlands experience. And we talked a great deal about Borderlands mechanics, characters and stuff, that kind of thing. So, but we're still playing through, and we just bought two of the download content packages that came out. Well, Moxie's been out for a while. We got Moxie's Underdome. And that's been out for a while. That was, like, what, the second one that came out?
Yeah, it was the second one. It was the Zombie Island of Dr. Ned, which is extremely hilarious. It's one, if you like shooting zombies. That's a good thing for that, the slow-moving zombies, I should say. And the voice acting, the script, some of the things that are being said, it's absolutely hilarious. It's not a bad download content. It's not that long, but it's not a bad download content. So, and it helped answer some questions and raise questions to other things.
Yeah, well, I didn't play through Ned. I didn't play through Zombie Island or Dr. Ned. I only even got the achievements for it because it was on our hard drive when I went to go start characters and stuff. So it automatically gave me the achievements for playing through, even though I had not played through it. But it was interesting. But you got to be into zombies, really. And I'm not really into zombies. I know that's, like, blasphemous, but I'm not really into zombies, so it didn't do anything for me. But I did play through Nox with you. I've played through most of Nox. I've played through at least, I'd say probably about maybe 3/4 of the way through Nox, I think. Because we've already blown up the armory once. We blew it up the second time for my character, I think. But yeah, I played through a little bit of Nox, and we're playing through Moxie together right now, and we're also playing through Claptrap Revolution, because I bought Claptrap Revolution since the update came out. And you know, the update came out and it's the level cap that's like where you bring everybody up to 69. Your level cap can be 69, but you have to be through, you have to be on playthrough 2.5, which means you've beaten the game twice.
And you have to have the secret armor of General Nox, too, to get it.
Yeah, you have to, because that raised the level cap previously to, what, 50?
61.
61. I'm sorry, it was 61. Yeah, it was 61. The first update was 50. Brought it up to 50 or something. Or was it always 50? Okay, original game was 50, and then Nox brought it up to 61, and then this last update.
Which is free.
It's free. And then automatically, once you get it, you'll start noticing the difference. You'll notice the difference. I was concerned that I wouldn't notice the difference, but they've also changed some things. It applies to mostly characters who've gone through 2.5, who are on 2.5. But you'll start noticing some things on second playthrough as well. With, didn't they change with the rack half? That's when it changed? Because before, he still sent out racks, right?
Yes, on 2.5, there are some of the noticeable differences. Places where people were just kill things over and over just to get the experience points to level up the characters and get their proficiencies up. Like the Rack Hive will not shoot out any racks on 2.5 once you get that update. You actually have to fight him. And he's a little tougher. He's more aggressive.
Oh, he follows you. He follows you around
even
when...
if you sit up on the ledge, because that's what most people do, sit up on the ledge and he just shoot nothing but green stuff at you. He'll shoot the green... his acid blast, as I call it. He'll shoot that multiple times. He seems to have a lot more hit points. Of course he is. He's one level higher. Well, if you're at 69, he's still one level higher than you. Let's see, if you go through the Lost Caves to level up like I do, all the creatures are your level on after you get the update. All the creatures are your level, or if they're are particularly a badass or something like that, they're at least two levels higher than you. Unless you're level 69, then they're one level higher.
Yeah, Sledge is higher.
Canisters that were there that you used to shoot to blow up enemies are no longer there. You see a lot more badasses. And they've changed some of the stats for the badass skags. It used to be, at least in my opinion, it seemed to be that the acid skag had the highest defense and took forever to destroy. But now it seems like it's the fire skag that comes out. It's more aggressive. He does a lot of damage. Probably because he is fire, but at the same time, it's really hard to get through his defenses. I mean, whether you're using acid, lightning, it doesn't matter what element you're using. It takes forever to kill him.
Yeah.
While compared to the other ones, it's not as difficult.
Well, didn't you also say, though, that the lightning skags also were pretty high defense in before the update? It was the acid and the lightning skags, the badass lightning skags.
Yeah, well, the lightning ones on here... I want to say if you shoot them with fire, they seem to go down a lot faster than you do with acid. But they are more aggressive, and they seem to be faster than they used to be. Sledge, shotgun increases with his level. And the max his shotgun goes to is 68, which I think is like 349 times 11 or something like that. It's the damage it does.
Yeah.
Skagzilla increases. I mean, all the major people will come back or increases.
Yeah.
So it's not too bad, and the weapons scale up too. So, but do not be surprised just because you have the best shield out there and some of the best weapons does not mean that when you run across a badass, his proficiency is going to be higher than yours. I can tell you that now. They come up there, if they got a shotgun, they shoot you four times. You have no shield in half life. So.
Yeah.
It's more difficult, which I like the challenge of it.
Yeah. The proficiencies scale up. Everybody now, all the enemies, if it's a badass, like it's a bad mother ranger or some shit, yeah, he's going to have, like, his proficiency is going to be at least 50. Like, I mean, because that's the max cap for proficiencies. But we seem to think that it might even be higher than what it's showing on... You know, because, like, you can look at your proficiencies and see it says 50 if you got it all maxed out. But we tend to think that even though theirs might show, if you could see it, it would say 50, it might be higher than that. Because they tend to do, they're deadly accurate. And, I mean, they're, like, killing you. And they start dropping, like, some of the best weapons now. That's also part of the update, is that they start dropping really good weapons. I mean, some people might be carrying... You might go through Lost Caves, and they'll be carrying gold-level weapons. So, we found a lot of gold weapon stuff once I was playing through with my character. Because I also had Find Rare Items on, too. So, that kind of helped. I had a class mod that said Find Rare Items. But, I thought it was interesting that they... added that part into the update. But while we're on the subject of Borderlands, keep a lookout. Gaming Insurrection is going to start another podcast, and we've mentioned this on the blog as well at GI Forum, but we're going to start another podcast hopefully soon, probably after the new year. that is going to focus on Borderlands called The Guns of Pandora. And we're going to go through and talk about, because we have a lot of areas to cover on the game. We're actually going to be focusing on the game itself and how to beat missions and gun choices and what else? What else are we doing? It's something else in there too. Characters, character mods, how you actually should set up your character. It's going to be a lot of stuff that we're covering. Anything I'm missing?
Probably just useless information, such as one of the missions that Tannis, you get an echo recorder, and Tannis talks about, you know, a guy came into her hut. That's what it was. He came into her hut and everything, and she was all excited, but she feared the guy and everything, and she decided to make up a name for him. Say his name is Leslie, and he would turn into a life of crime because people picked at his name. And the useless knowledge of that is Leslie is actually his real name. She didn't make that up. His name is Leslie Crumb, but he dropped Leslie, so everyone just calls him Crumb. So
Yeah, stuff like that. Interesting stuff like that in the storyline. Yeah, definitely we're going to cover that too, because we picked up on a lot of things just playing through the game. And, you know, like at certain points now, I'll be like, oh, you know, she's actually lying at this point about, you know, like the alien artifact, as good old Earl would say, you know, because you managed the not dying. But yeah, we're gonna focus on that. That should be interesting. It's gonna take a little bit, but we've already got all our stuff together for it. Cause I mean, you gotta prepare for this kind of thing. So, I'm excited about it. I conceived of this podcast some time ago, and we just haven't had time to sit down and implement it. But I'm excited. What about you?
Oh yeah, I'm always excited about Borderlands. That's all I messed around with. So. One of the few games that I tried to learn the complete ins and out of. So.
Yeah. And my little characters, yeah, I actually have set up since I've been playing Borderlands. I have a character profile on the Xbox that we have. And my little character, I just bought one of the little, little avatar items? Is that what they call it? And mine is a treasure chest from Borderlands. It's a red chest from Borderlands. That, you know, the character kicks open and, you know, it shows guns and a health pack and, like, a character mod or something, or grenades or something. I use that for my little character. That's, like, the only one I bought, but I thought it was cute, so I bought it. I didn't want anything else. I know they had that one character chest mod, and we were sitting there looking at stuff, and they had, like, a Borderlands t-shirt, and it was some other stuff, but I liked the little mod thing, because I didn't really want to buy clothes and stuff, but... That costs money. And I was already doing good to buy that. So, I like Borderlands. So, I'm excited about doing the podcast coming up. So, moving on. What else are we playing, sir? What are we playing?
Well, I've been playing Tekken 6 and recently started playing Super Street Fighter 4 because I've been out of the Street Fighter thing since Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
Oh, my God, man.
So, I've recently started playing Super Street Fighter 4, so I'm learning how to play that. Playing a little Bayonetta. Yeah, and recently started walking through and really paying attention to the storyline of Battlefield Bad Company. I mean, I think the storyline is pretty interesting in there. I did play more of the second demo than anything else, so I figured I'd give the first one a chance since it got good reviews. Just the first Bad Company demo was really crappy, didn't really tell you anything, so it seemed like it was like a cheesy B-rated movie that was done in the deep, deep, deep woods of some off-world country, and it is like, yeah, this is good stuff. Somebody edited, gave you 10 minutes up and put it on there and said, yeah, this is the best game ever. How would you know it's the best game ever? You only had 10 minutes of crap. So, that's the only thing I can say. But it's actually, so far, it's turning out pretty good.
I've been watching you play Bayonetta, which I had trumpeted Bayonetta before it even came out because I saw the previews and I read interview that James Milkey, who works for Q Entertainment now, he used to be editor at 1UP.com. He did an interview with Hideki Kamiya, who is the creator of Devil May Cry and Bayonetta, and they work for Platinum Games. They own Platinum Games, which, long story short, used to be Clover, which made Okami, and what else did Clover make? Oh, what's the game? Beautiful Joe. They also did Beautiful Joe. When he worked for Capcom, he did Devil May Cry, which is basically Bayonetta with a chick. I mean, that's basically what it is. It's the original Devil May Cry with a chick named Bayonetta who's a witch and who uses her hair to, like, do attacks and stuff and be naked. So, anyway, I read an interview with Hideki Kamiya, and I was like, wow, this is going to be awesome. They also did Vanquish recently, too, which is a lot like Bayonetta and Devil May Cry, except the dudes sliding around on jetpacks and stuff. But I haven't actually physically myself sat down and played Bayonetta yet. Because right when we were supposed to be getting Bayonetta, when Bayonetta came out, we got hit by the recession just like everybody else. So buying games went right out of the question. I mean, that wasn't going to happen. So, we wound up having to put it off and put it off and put it off. And so finally, GameStop just had a, you know, buy two used, get one free sale. So we went and bought a whole bunch of stuff. We bought the Battlefield Bad Company, Bayonetta, Yakuza, which we're going to get to in a minute. Yakuza, what else did we get? What else did you just list that we got that was used? We bought a lot of stuff. I said Battlefield Bad Company. What else?
Because
we had to test all of it.
Yeah, I tested all at one time. It was Battlefield Bad Company, Bayonetta. You got me Fight Night for my birthday.
Oh yeah, Fight Night. Yeah, Fight Night Round 3.
Super Street Fighter 4.
That was the other one. It was Super Street Fighter 4. I couldn't think of that. Was you just yeah, listed
for,
that?
That's for the birthday too.
Yeah. We got Super Street Fighter 4, and that was the other two. I couldn't think of the other one. That was Fight Night. But it was we'll also talk about Super Street Fighter 4
and Gears of War.
Oh, yes, the original Gears of War. Because he had picked that out. He wanted to get that.
I figured it'd be a good game for you and I to play since you start learning how to play shooters.
Yeah, Gears of War is interesting. I might sit down and play Gears of War. Maybe. I'm trying to go pretty slow with learning to play shooters again, just because I'm kind of scared, one, of the technology having to catch up, because the whole reason why I stopped playing shooters, because I used to play shooters of the day back in the late 90s, early 2000s, but technology hadn't quite caught up yet, and so I had the problem with motion sickness, where I could sit there and play it for about 20 minutes, and then I would have a raging headache, and I would want to throw up my brains. Just throw up my brains. So, I was just like, you know, this is not worth it. I'm going to stop playing these things now. And it's certain games, certain 3D games, like Mario 64, I can stand about half an hour to an hour of Mario 64, and then I have to stop playing. I have to put it down, and I can't play it for a while. And also, definitely, no Sonic Adventure. That's definitely a no. I mean, you know, Sonic's liable to make you sick from the bad gameplay. Heyo! It's probably going to make you sick from the bad gameplay, but it's just the graphics and crap are like, it's so much going on at one time that I'm like, no, I cannot do this. I'm going to be very sick. And I was, the first time I played Sonic Adventure 2, I was so sick. This was like, I got my Dreamcast, so it was 2000, at least 2001, 2002. It was somewhere around then, and I was playing it, and oh my gosh, I mean, just sick. I had to stop playing. I had to take 2 Excedrin and go lay down for the night. Like, done. Just done. Whole thing just done. I was like, why am I throwing out my brains behind Sonic? See, this is why I didn't play with your blue ass to begin with. This is why. Because I knew I wasn't going to be able to play this. This is why I like that little plumber from the Mushroom Kingdom a heck of a lot better. So, I didn't play Sonic all that much. After that, yeah, well, Sonic started going downhill anyway, so I definitely wasn't going to play it. But I didn't play Sonic games too much after that because it was too... There was probably like a 95% chance I was going to be violently ill if I tried. So, yeah, Sonic after that was a no. But, that's what I was concerned about Bayonetta. Bayonetta seems to be kind of, sort of better. I mean, because technology has caught up. This is like a 2009 game. So, I mean, I expect Bayonetta not to be causing me to be seriously ill, but...
No, she came out this year.
She didn't come out in 2010. She came out in 2009.
Earlier this year, I thought.
Bayonetta came out in 2009, I thought. I could be wrong about that. I might have to go look that up. But I swear I read...
I think it was much earlier this year.
I read the reviews, and we were living in Colombia at that point. And that would have been 2009 when that was going on. When all that was going on with Bayonetta. But, I mean, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I just swear that came out in 2009. Because it's not getting any Game of the Year awards or whatever.
Well, if you read it in 2009, it was reviewed. If you read it out of Game Informer, Game Informer has a tendency of reviewing the game before it ever hits the streets.
That's true. They do.
So a lot of times they review the game and they'll say the game is absolutely horrible. Well, months will go by before the game's actually released and the game completely changes by then.
Yeah.
So, it just depends.
I remember reading the Famitsu review. See, that's the thing. Famitsu review gave it, Famitsu, if you guys don't know what Famitsu is, you need to know what Famitsu is. Famitsu is a Japanese publication. It is the Japanese gaming Bible. Like, everybody who plays video games in Japan reads Famitsu, because Famitsu's been around forever and ever and ever. And if you can get a high score from Famitsu, chances are your game is good. Well, Famitsu gave it 40, gave it perfect score, 40 out of 40 for the 360, for the Xbox 360. They gave it 38 out of 40 for PlayStation 3 because they said the frame rate inconsistencies were bad. It was bad enough for them not to get a perfect score for that port. That was part of it, but that was the main like part of it. But for reason why that they got that lower score, but I think that Bayonetta, I seem to recall that being in 2009. If it was this year, it was like January of this year. But I seem to recall it being January of 2009. I do. I seem to recall that for some reason it being January 2009 when that game came out. But either way, Bayonetta's pretty good. I'm not even playing it and like physically playing it, and I enjoy watching it just because I knew it was going to be interesting. Now, I don't like the character of Luca. I mean, I know he's like supposed to be her love interest or whatever, but he kind of leaves a lot to be desired. Like, you could have the game and he not be in it and it would be okay. he could not be in the game and it would be okay. But, I think it's a pretty good game. What do you think? Since you're the one playing through it.
I think it's just a Devil May Cry game that has a female in it. Which means, you know, I'm going to enjoy it. I mean, it was a great game. That cutscenes, well, at first I have to say that I was extremely annoyed because the game starts up with a cutscene. You wait 10 minutes. You move around, you start another cutscene. Then you do a little combat while the guy is still talking to you, which I don't have a problem with. They do a little combat, but they don't really explain anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
During a load screen, though, you can practice your combos, which is good.
Yeah.
And then you come out, there's another cutscene for like 20 minutes. Then you fight for like 10, and then you in another cutscene for like another 30 minutes. So at first that was annoying, but now it's gotten to the point where it's more of a, it's more action, and you know, you still see cutscenes any every time, but it's not as often, and it's not nowhere near as long. So,
oh, so it was running into what you're saying is it's running into the same problem that I'm having with Yakuza, where it's like lots of cutscene fighting, lots of cutscene fighting. Lots of cussing. I'm like, okay, come on, y'all. Like, can I please do more than just a brief 2-minute fight and then be surrounded by 10-minute cutscenes? Really? I would like to actually play the game. I mean, there is a need for cutscenes, but then there's too much cutscene. And Yakuza falls into that trap. It has too much cutscene. And it's like it's trying to mask the fact that the actual fighting game engine part of it, it's not very good. Because it's not. And, you know, I really want to like Yakuza. And I do. I enjoy what I've played of it so far. But it's like too much cutscene, not enough fighting. And then when I do fight, it's awful. Like, the mechanics are awkward. The camera angles are awkward. Like, everything about the game is awkward. You could tell where they were trying really hard with it. with, like, immersing you into the world of the Yakuza, which, if you don't know what Yakuza is, it's Japanese gangsters. I mean, it tries to set you into the world of Yakuza, but it doesn't quite do it. It's the game is just, the premise is nice, but the execution is awkward. Is the best way to describe it. I mean, I know I've said the word awkward like 5 times now, but that's basically what it is. It's awkward. It's like, let's make a Yakuza game where you are a Japanese gangster and you're running around, but you have a heart of gold, and so you gotta go rescue these people. And you gotta stop people from doing stupid things. Then you get sent to prison for 10 years. Then you get, you know, you get out of prison. Then there's a lot of cutscene. Then you get back on the street. Then there's more cutscene about why you're on the street and you've been out of prison for 10 years and now people are like, hey, that's a dude who used to be a Yakuza. Let's go fight him. And I'm going to tell you, I have no problem with profanity. And you guys, if you listen to this, you'll see that we now have a new feature on our blog called First Impressions where I talked about Yakuza. It's not necessarily a review, but it's my first impression of Yakuza. Of playing through Yakuza. And I played for about 3 hours the other day. But I'm gonna tell y'all, I don't care about profanity in video games. I really don't care. If it's an adult title, it should be in the game. Like, cause adults talk like that. Adults talk like that. I know. and if it's a kid's title, no, it probably shouldn't be in there, because kids shouldn't be saying those kinds of words. If you don't know what the word means, you shouldn't use it. But my problem with Yakuza is, it's trying too hard. Yes, it's a game about gangsters. I expect them to sound like foul-mouthed drunken sailors on leave. And that's the description I use for myself in my first impression. But I expect for them to sound like that. In the game. I do. I expect them to sound like that. But it sounds forced. It sounds really forced in the game. Like, they'll be like, oh, F, that hurts. Oh, F, that hurts. And then the audio, that's the other problem, is that the audio loops and is very noticeable. Because the audio track is trying to keep up and sync itself, and it doesn't quite do it. So the track loops, and it's like any other Sega game I have ever played, like Crazy Taxi. The best example I can think of is the original Crazy Taxi, when you're driving through the city and you hear the people screaming in the background because you've almost run them over when you're taking this one passenger somewhere, or you're getting to go pick up somebody. And they're like, oh, you almost ran me over. That kind of thing. But the track loops like that, and it's really noticeable. And so, like, you'll hear in the best example for Yakuza that I can think of, especially, is when you go on the street, you're walking down the street, and you hear this one dude say the same thing over and over and over again. But when you're fighting in the tutorial fight, you'll hear someone say, "Damn, that hurt," like 15 times. And they will call you a fucker, like, every 5 seconds. And I was like, what in the world? This is terrible. Like, come on, Sega. You're supposed to be better than this. But, yeah, it's trying too hard to be Japanese gangstery cool. You know, it's trying too hard. But, I mean, other than that, and the voice acting could use some work, except for the fact that Mark Hamill's doing a voice in the game. And I know who it is. You meet the gangster that he's voicing, like, very early in the game. But, it's just, it's trying too hard. But otherwise, minus the clunky controls and the crazy voice acting looping problem, it also looks like a 2006 game. Even though, and in my first impression, I pointed out the fact that this game should look better than this. It's Sega. It should look better than this because it came out in 2006, right? But at the same time, in 2005, you had Tekken 5. Look at Tekken 5 and then look at Yakuza. And it's like, what?
The difference is, it is Sega. And the game probably will look extremely great on Sega's system. But yes, it's not on a Sega system.
It probably would look awesome on a Dreamcast. It probably should have come out on Dreamcast.
But it didn't, so the Sega did the best they could to make more profit because, you know, when it comes to the console war that's going on between Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, I say that Sega's winning because Sega's like, oh, we don't make consoles anymore.
Nope.
I know we're not supposed to be in this war, but we're going to help Microsoft off because, you know, the best way we tell and give that telltale secret is that controller looks an awful lot like the Dreamcast one, don't you think? It does, doesn't it? So what we're going to do is we're going to make Buku's money. This is how we're going to make Buku's money. We're going to make games. And we're going to put it on every single one of those systems out there that those people are having a war on. And I don't care which one of them wins because in the end, Sega wins.
Yes, and what gets me is, especially with them, is two things. One is it is not lost on anyone that all of the Dreamcast games that they put on Xbox Live play perfectly on Xbox Live. I mean, and I know it's because it's based off the same structure. They use Windows. What were they using? Windows CE or some crap? I don't even know. What was Windows? It was a Windows OS in the Dreamcast, used in the Dreamcast. But, and it's the same thing, of course, it's also Windows in the 360. In both the 360 and the original Xbox. But that fact is not lost on me that you go boot up Soul Calibur and the damn thing plays perfectly. As if you were playing on a Dreamcast. Actually, it plays better than it would on the Dreamcast, almost. But I'm like, are y'all serious? Like, that fact is not lost on anybody. And two, you'll notice, any and everything that would have been great on Dreamcast and the Dreamcast successor looks phenomenal on 360, but looks like crap on PlayStation 3.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, though. Although I have to say that anything like that comes up, that Sony does come up and say, hey, you know, if they got it, we got to get it too, you know.
Yeah.
Although, I'll have to say to Sony, the reason probably that you don't get those great fighters that came off the Dreamcast is because, Sony, if you once said, we don't want 2D fighters on our system because it makes it look like crap. So,
yeah.
Why will we continue to keep sending stuff all your way? Granted, Virtua Fighter and Soul Calibur, it's not necessary 2D.
No.
But from what I understand from a development point of view, it's a lot easier to develop things for the 360 than it is for the PlayStation.
It is.
So with that being done, it was like, hey, this is easy. They're not charging us an arm and leg. We're going to make a lot of money. So why don't we go ahead and put it on this first. We put it on Microsoft first. and then we'll work on Sega, on Sony the next time. You know, we keep working on it. We're working. Oh, Sony want this first? Sony want this first, right? Okay, so give us about 6 months so we can get it ready for you. 6 months later, here you go, Sony. It's perfect for you. 2 days later, here you go, Microsoft. And probably that's how long it took them to make it for Microsoft, too, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But definitely, yeah, those two things are not lost on me.
I don't even want to talk about Nintendo because, you know, Nintendo's just picky about who's going to do what on that. Third parties, we're fine. Sega, you just have to give us Sonic stuff. That's all we want, Sonic stuff. You know, because that's it. You can't give us any, oh, you got other stuff? Then we take your stuff that has T. And that's it. No other stuff. No. Oh, so that's working good for Microsoft and Sony? See, Sega, you're going to need to make that for us. That's what you need to do. We told you the whole time you're supposed to be making whatever they get, we're supposed to get. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what you're going to... Oh, Matt World, that was great, man. That's okay. Oh, you didn't make that for them? So we got it, right? We got it. See, Sega, we told you that the parents ain't going to like the stuff if you make stuff that have M on there. We only want the stuff that has T. See, and that is why not that much stuff goes to Nintendo.
No, Nintendo, let me tell you what Nintendo doing with Sega. Nintendo likes to embarrass that little blue hedgehog. Nintendo's still thinking this is 1993, and we still trying to fight Sega. We trying to fight that good fight against Sega. So what we gonna do is, you need to put a game out for our systems. Since y'all ain't making no more systems no more, and you were our chief rival back in the day, you know, we need you to, what's that you say? You got a revival of Sonic, and he's supposed to be like, wait, it ain't 3D, is it? I mean, because, you know, we can't have nothing touching Mario. That's not going to work. If it's 3D, it ain't coming here. you better not dare even bring him here. Talking about it's a 3D game. I mean, haven't you seen? We're up to Galaxy now. I mean, we're up to Galaxy. We are so far ahead of where Sonic was. We've run out of names for a Mario franchise. I mean, we on Mario Galaxy. We've resorted to naming it Mario Galaxy 2. Something we've never done, except with Super Mario World 2. I mean, like, we don't do these kinds of things. What is... Oh, he ain't... Okay, he just, like, 16-bit Revival HD remake of... Okay, that's fine. That's fine. You can bring him on in now. He ain't gonna do nothing. He's not gonna touch our sales. We still selling copies of Super Mario World for crying out loud. I mean, really. What is that supposed to do? I mean... Please. So, yeah, Nintendo, I think, is still stuck in 1990 for some reason and thinks that it's okay not to have online and that we're still fighting that good fight against Sega because Sega's the enemy. And I'm like, no, Nintendo, actually, time is your enemy. Because if y'all bother to pay any attention, you'd know that nobody really older than probably 25 is playing Wii. Seriously. I mean, they play it in groups when they're drunk with their friends or whatever, but...
No, there's still a lot of older people who play Wii. Problem is, they're more selective about what games they play on a Wii. And if they have a Wii, they use it as more of a casual play.
Mm-hmm.
And they have another system in the house.
Yeah. Well, this is like the...
Or they use, like, as a friend of mine, she's got a Wii, and she uses it every now and then when she plays Guitar Hero or something like that, but mostly it's just to watch Netflix stuff, so...
Well, and especially, like, in our case, my mother had a Wii. She wasn't she's not a hardcore gamer, trust me, she's not gonna sit down and play New Super Mario Brothers Wii. She's not. She doesn't care about Mario. She just wanted to play Wii Sports and Wii Fit. And... Then she was like, oh, you know, I don't really even play it. I bought it and I don't even really play it. So she was like, here, use it to trade in to get some money. you need gas money and groceries. Use that. That should give you some money. And I'm like, you bought a $200 system just to, seriously, like a year later, give it to me to trade in for money?
That's
gangsta.
That's what a lot of people did. Well, the thing with Nintendo is,
they're still thinking, you know, they're competing with Sony and Microsoft. Sony thinks they're competing with Nintendo and Microsoft. Microsoft thinking they're competing with, we just want people to come in and buy our stuff. We don't care about who, what, Sony's doing what? Nintendo's doing what? See, if you look at a, if you look at our scores here, see how many people we got online, our customer base, as long as we put out shooters and games that people playing online, people gonna buy it.
Yeah.
Sony's like, we have free online, people. Everyone starts showing up. Look how many people got online. Wait, we can get how much money with all these people online if they start doing the membership?
Hey, PlayStation Plus.
Let's start doing that. Yeah, that sounds good. We can do that then. Wait, why are those people complaining? Well, they don't want to pay, but they're getting all this stuff online. Because you shouldn't offer it for free first.
Yeah, you should have just priced your model from the beginning.
That's like saying, come on in. We got an all-you-can-eat buffet all day on Saturday. Why is there outside, there's a line?
Oh, no, no. No, it's free. The people show up, and then when they get in there and go sit down, and you will tell them to order their drink or whatever, they get a drink.
You do it on a Saturday all day, and you got a line the whole entire time before your store opens all the way up to the close when people are angry because you closed the doors. Yeah. So the next weekend, you're like, it's all you can eat for $7.99. So then people are like, what the fuck? You said it was going to be free. I don't understand. How you going to do that? So now you sit down, how come we ain't got no customers on Saturday? Because if you didn't offer it for free first, then you wouldn't have to worry about the people talking about, I ain't coming now. And you're going, you know, what kind of stuff is that?
Yeah, you wouldn't have to, worry about it. Like, I don't even understand. Okay. I say this as somebody who owns a PlayStation 2 and a PlayStation. And trying to own a PlayStation 3 in a little bit. But, I mean, really? Come on, people. Like, charge me from the beginning. Don't tell me it's free and then be like, oh, we can make more money if we charge you. Here you go. This PlayStation Plus. You're going to need to pay $9.99.
This is to help us because, you know, we had to cut our prices on that PS3 and to get people to buy it. So this will help us out if we charge people to play online.
Cause you know that shit was too expensive when it came out. $600.
What a problem.
Double my car payment at the time. 1.5 times my rent at the time. No.
Well, the problem was, what they should have did is, they should have said, this is how much it is. Alright? And if they decided to charge people to play online, that should have been the time they did that. This is how much we pay online. You know, you have this, you can even say, we'll give you like X amount of months free. Then you have to pay for it. People wouldn't have had a problem with that. I'm positive they wouldn't have had a problem with that. As long as you had good games that people want to play online.
Yeah, that's my thing. You got to have the content to go with the console when you launch. You got to have a decent lineup. You got to have something that somebody's going to want to play. It needs to be a killer app. This needs to be the reason why I chose to buy PS3 when it came out instead of waiting for the price to come down. Because let me tell you, I waited 5 years before I even thought about buying one. Because, one, I'm not paying that kind of money. I cannot afford to do that. And even at the time, yeah, I probably could have saved up my money and got a PS3. But I didn't want to. It cost too much. That was prohibitively expensive. I'm thinking about it. I got bills to pay. I got a car payment to make. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, my income was, I mean, it was enough to cover my bills. And, I mean, you know, you had income too. But, and we could have afforded one, probably. But I was like, dude, I'm not spending that kind of money on a video game system. I have more sense than that. I have more sense than that. I will wait for the price to come down. So, I mean, now they're like half of what they were then, and $300 is still too much, but okay. Yeah, now there are more games out there. PlayStation Network is established. You can afford to own a PS3 and like 4 games and get online with them, and you only spent like $400, $500, you know? I mean, we were looking at that tonight. The 200, well, what is it, 180 or 160 gigabyte hard drive is like $299. Okay.
Which, granted, I have to admit, you know, compared to an Xbox back in the time, you know, and you spent almost that much for 20 gig, I can understand the big difference. The problem is, and it's not really no problem now. Problem is, while these two companies are doing this, Nintendo's sitting there talking about, oh, you don't want to play online, do you? You only want to play online.
Yes.
You only want to play online with people you know, right? Just people you know. You just want to play. This is how you know the people you know. For each game that you play online, they got to send you a request for every single game. Plus, they got to have a request from your system. That way, we know that you know who you're playing against. Oh, you want to fight against random people? You need to find those random people out in the street and have them send you messages so you can send them messages so y'all can play together. And then in a couple weeks, if it's still going good, if it starts slacking off in numbers, we're just going to end the support on it and start something else. So you got to start the process all over again. To which I like, what is this solving? How's this solving? We're keeping the kids safe. You're keeping the kids frustrated. That's what you're doing.
Xbox.
Not only are you keeping the kids safe, you keeping the kids frustrated. You're keeping the parents frustrated because they got to go out and buy a game. And they got to hear the child's like, how come I can't get this guy to come play the game with me? Oh, I got to send him another request just so he can play it with me?
And it's a 16-digit code that looked like damn Metroid password from back in the day. Which is notoriously bad.
And then you got to go out and buy another game because in 2 months, they're going to end support on it. So you got to go out and find another one.
If in 2 months.
So as I see it is, Sony's trying to downgrade Nintendo. You know, basically not really downgrade. They're trying to put Nintendo, let Nintendo know that, you know, you're really slightly behind the times. You know, no one's really going to change towards you. Except for the motion thing, which I believe, honestly, when Nintendo came out with the Wii, the motion and everything, that Sony and Microsoft probably already had their things in the work. They were probably working on it. They just haven't fixed it up. They have to see how the Wii's going to do. Then they heard all the problems that we have and start working on it. It's like, this is how when we release it, it's going to be better. To which I understand, you know, it hasn't been too much issues except for space, which is something Nintendo didn't really tell you in the beginning. Hence is all those movies you've seen, YouTube movies,
people
that is.
People throwing things in the TV.
People throwing things in the TV, people breaking arms because the bowling right there sitting in front of the coffee table. They didn't really tell. Of course, they tell you later on in a little motion thing, you know, you need room.
Yeah.
Just because you can swing your arms doesn't necessarily mean you got room. Yeah. So, I can understand that. Sony and Microsoft pulling out and said, hey, you need X amount of space to do these things. And every single one of their videos, and I have to admit, you know, even Nintendo had that stuff when they're showing people playing. There's plenty of space.
Yeah.
But for the average person, no one has a big-ass living room like these people.
No.
So.
No, they do not.
So, you can't.
Well, maybe we would if we took all our crap out of there. I mean, you know, if we took everything out of the limo, we would have the space.
But you've seen the promo videos for some of these things.
The promo video is like, it's a room plus a living room plus a dining room plus the kitchen.
It's a big room. It's usually white. There's a big room. There's a big-ass TV. The couch or love seat where, you know, three or four other people are watching. They're like 25 feet away. The person's right there in front of them where they can do break dance and handstands and anything else like that. Run up and act like they're bowling, doing uppercuts and stuff. And you sitting there like, okay, so let me get this straight. The couch is 25 feet away from the TV. The person is at least 10 feet away from the TV and the couch. There's a wall like 15 feet behind the couch.
Who has a living room that big?
Where is this at? It's in a studio. But they don't let you know that.
No, they don't tell you it's in a studio.
So,
no.
they want you to feel bad because you don't have a big-ass house to have.
You are poor. You poor people shouldn't be playing. What that was Ken Kutaragi said. You poor people can't afford it. You shouldn't even be thinking about it anyway.
If you can't afford this game, then it wasn't for you in the first place.
I was like, oh my God, Kutaragi, you need to get put down.
You should be in Congress, you saying stuff like that. That is what I say about the stuff, but I think what they did, they just sat back and watched. Now, I'm not saying Nintendo did a bad job, because I actually did. I mean, it didn't bother me about the motion or anything. Motion controls and stuff like that don't bother me, because I'm an active person anyway. So, I could care less. Now, I did have some issues when you say there's an option that you can use the buttons or the motion controls. and there's really no options.
No.
You have to use the motion control. So you explain to me how accurate that I'm supposed to be shooting this basketball when I'm playing a game for basketball. But the Wii ain't picking up that I'm jumping up in the air because you're telling me to jump up in the air. Because you said act like it. Because you're showing on the promo the people jumping up in the air doing the shot. So it's not picking that up. So you get called for traveling.
Yes. Or when you were going to swing and golf.
You're going to swing and golf. You've already swung and your character's on the TV just pulling the golf club back. It's like, where were you at? How slow do I need to do this? So you do it slow. And still, he's back there taking practice swings and everything. You've already swung the ball. It's like, why don't you hit the ball?
Or when the button, when they tell you in the bowling that...
Press the button.
Press the button to let go of the button
when you throw the ball. Let go of the button when you throw the ball.
I thought maybe it was just me, but, you know, no.
So what did it do? Because Nintendo is all about making more money. We put out the Wii Motion Plus, which tells me they already knew they had this problem when they put the thing out in the first place.
Yes, they did.
So they didn't care. So they put out the Wii Motion Plus. Hey, it helps out. We got the Wii Motion Plus thing worked out. So what we're going to do? We're going to put out more games. We're going to put out more games right there for you. What those other guys got? They want you to be couch potatoes. They want you to get on your ass, and they want you to be fat. That's what they want you to do. You hear that, America? They want you to be fat. So what do you want to do? You want to move around in your living room, lose weight, or you want to be fat? Given a choice, human beings as a whole, no matter what country, is going to take the easiest one.
Yep.
They're going to sit down on the couch.
Yep.
Because, one, they can play online on those other two systems with people they don't know and talk as much junk as they want to. Keyword there, they can talk over a microphone.
Yep.
Over a microphone. Not just playing one game called Pokemon, but they can talk over a microphone to people they don't know any given time.
You could, if you had that Wii Speak nonsense.
Which they don't have support for anyway.
Killed the support for it.
But anyway...
I was like, see, that's why I'm so happy that I did not get the Animal Crossing with Wii Speak in it, because I would have been highly pissed.
So you're giving the people options. Get up and move around. Stop being couch potatoes. All right, fine. I can't talk to nobody? You can't let me play with just any old body?
Nope.
Oh, I can't even play with people from different... Are you kidding me?
I spend more money to be lazy.
I'll sit right here on my couch. I'll talk to Utata... over there on the other side of the country, because that's going to be his name, because no one knows what a gamer tag is. They're just going to call Uchita. They'll sit there, they'll play the games with him and everything. They'll talk the junk and everything. And I don't know about y'all, but you know, if you've ever seen people who are completely into any kind of game online, no one sits still. They're sitting down, but they're not sitting down. They're
all
the best. The best one it actually shows, I say it's real life, was that Microsoft commercial when it had everyone screaming out no and all the different languages and everything. And guy was like, yes.
That was awesome.
That is how people act.
Like,
when
no!
that is how people act when they're playing online.
Yes, yes. So, and the guy's like cussing him in like, all the guys are going to cuss him in crazy languages and like jumping up and down. Yes, that is exactly.
Although they're sitting down, they don't necessarily mean they're not moving. Now, so what do you do to make things better? All right, so we understand that people don't want to sit down. So those other two companies, not naming no names, Sony and Microsoft, decided that we're going to put stuff up there so people move. Oh, you feel silly moving around with your nunchuckers, and you're not killing nobody with your nunchuckers? Such as, you know, you're supposed to be hacking with a sword, and your sword's not hacking? Is that what you're trying to do? So fine. What we're going to do is we'll let you get up there. And remember how you were a kid and you used to use your invisible swords and everything else? You can use that. Just touch the air. Talk to your system. Doesn't that seem futuristic like the Jetsons? Talk to it and everything. Tell my Xbox, come on. Oh, it's on. And you recognize this mug? Oh, you can see me? That's technology. Sonny, what you got? You know, it might look weird that we got this blue ball hanging at the end of this thing. You know, you might call it a Sony testicle, but this thing works great. Look at this. You see this? This is right here. This is right here. It's not a prototype, people. This is what it does. We're not acting. This is exactly what it is.
Pause.
I'm just saying. Anyway. So you sitting here, you use this thing with the blue ball in your hand, no homo, and you sitting there, and you're throwing it around, and this works. You see that? Sword action. You know better yet what's the best thing to show them? Get up here and show us Metal Gear. So they show you Metal Gear. Automatically sold millions right there, whether they wanted to or not.
Oh, yeah.
You get up there and show Metal Gear. All that stuff worked. Not too many people complained about it once it up. No one said anything. What Nintendo do? So,
if y'all can see his face.
So let me tell you. We're trendsetters here at Nintendo. Those other people want to.
My name is Reggie, and I came here to kick ass and make games. And we about making games. Hey, get that dude out here that made Legend of Zelda. Get him out here that made Legend of Zelda. Hey, and tell him don't forget his sword and his shield, neither. You better have the Hyrule shield when you come out here. Don't make me come back. Chicken, don't make me come back there. You better come out here with that shield and show these people why they need to buy my product. But what'd that man say?
Buy my product.
So,
we about trendsetters. You see the other two? They're ripping off of us.
They biting Nintendo.
And although, you know, they feel threatened from us, that's why they decide to do that. I'm sitting there looking at it as, I can see the similarities. All they're doing is giving people options to get up, move around if they want to. But at the same time, it's not the same thing. You still can interact, these other two companies, you still can interact with people from different sides of the countries, with random people that you don't know, never going to see again, probably, unless you end up liking the person and everything. You know, I've heard about some offline romances and everything. You're like, hey, that guy sound good on that, you know. Maybe, you know, where he live at? Oh, he ain't that far? Oh, that's good. We play tomorrow then. So you're sitting there and you're playing games.
He live in Fort Gay, Washington.
Yes, because that happened in Microsoft where they didn't believe the guy. But anyway, so... Oh, maybe we meet up. Oh, the guy's just living down the street? Oh, I could talk to the guy right down the street. Nintendo, you won't let me talk to the guy next door?
Nope.
I can't talk to the guy next door?
You better have a friend code.
I gotta get on every game? Why I gotta do every game? On every game? How come you tell me I can save my games to the controller and on this SD card, but I can't take it all my friends out to... I can't even take it all my friends' house? Who? I can't take it.
Nope.
I can't take. Looks like you're going to be playing my GameCube game because, you know, that's about all I'm going to use it for.
Yep.
So.
And that's about all we did use ours for.
So, that being said, there's similarities in all three companies. But to me, they're all extremely different.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying which one is better, but I will say that one's a little... I mean, they started out with a great idea. I just don't think they capitalized on that.
Capitalized.
Capitalized. I don't think they capitalized on that situation. They didn't grasp the severity of what they had. They could have made buku bucks, which they did. With the whole ploy saying, you know, we're going to have billions of them out there. Billions of systems out there. Oh, we only got a couple hundred thousand systems out there. Oh, for this day only, you only got 25 systems out there at this store.
Yep.
And now we out. We don't know where they're at. Oh, I'm sorry. We mysteriously found some and a warehouse back here. We had no idea we had that many left. So we're going to send them over here. And now we out.
Yeah.
We're completely out. We're out again. I mean, we're just out. I don't understand. We got no more. Europe's going to get some next month. So, what you telling me is, in 1 month time, you made 18 million systems, but you're completely out? Oh, so here you go, America. We sent you some more. We found some more. And now, you know, Japan, you know, you've had, you know, ample supply. But Europe, you out now. We can't give you any because we're giving it to Americans. You know, Americans are greedy. Americans get some more. And they get some more. Oh, we out. You know, we just don't have any more. Oh, Europe, you got some. Europe, can we order some of yours? Oh, you letting us have some of yours? That'd be good. oh, we can't have the Europeans trading with the Americans, so we got to send Americans some more. So, all those marketing ploy, which I honestly believe that's what it was.
That's all that was. That's was what the manufacturer shortage.
That's what everyone thinks.
It was a complete manufacturer shortage.
Now, everyone thinks that Microsoft did the same thing, and I don't think they did the same thing. Nor do I believe Sony did the same thing. I think that when they said they were out, I believe they honestly were out. that's just how it was. Although it took a little longer for the PS3 to be out because, you know, the prices are high. But eventually, they did run up. But Nintendo, who I've known to never run out of systems because they always flood the market with it, I believe they said, the Americans believe if it's rare,
they'll buy it.
They must have it.
Yep.
So we're going to put down X amount. And ooh, look how fast that sold. We should send this more. No, don't send them all. You'll flood it. Wait. Look at Amazon and eBay. See how much those things are going for? $500. Wait till you got about $700, then we put some more out there.
Do fever pitch. Let it get to a fever pitch.
And then they do that. And then, because I believe that a lot of those systems, Nintendo's just kind of sending them out that way and everything. Get this bundle! This Nintendo Wii and these 5 games and an extra controller. And we'll start the bidding at $300. 400, 500, 700. Oh, day before Christmas, when you know the Americans got to have it. And we'll send it to them on the next day. $800, $900. We make him lots of money. January the 1st, send Americans a bunch of systems.
Of course they did it that way. I wasn't surprised.
So,
I was not surprised.
No, I'm not saying. I mean, of course those facts are not exactly accurate, but I was just saying. That's pretty much what they did.
That's pretty much what they did.
So, I honestly think that all three have a very good product. They've always have. And sometimes I might question their ways of marketing things and how they speak to people, or correction, how they speak down to people. I am getting a little annoyed with how they keep trying to beat each other up publicly by saying we're better than they are and they're better than you. It's like when I was in school, like in kindergarten and everything. I wear Nikes and you wear Pumas. I'm better than you because I got Nikes. Oh, you ain't got no Jordans? Then you nobody unless you got Jordans. See this?
I never understood that.
See this members only jacket? Oh, you only got an only jacket, not a members only. I'm better than you. My daddy got a Mercedes and you got a Chevette.
Actually, in that case, yes, they probably are better than you are.
I'm better than you. Oh, my grades suck. Oh, your grades are good? I'm cooler than you.
So, it's always something.
It's always something. So they decide, and then it usually seems to be more of all three companies like, oh, yeah, they have all this good stuff for them. We're not doubting they have this good stuff. But we're better than them because look at what we have. This is what you want, right? This is what you want. So it's more like, I'm really tired of that.
Yeah, I mean, it never ends. It's a vicious cycle. It never ends. You're going to always have that. So, I mean.
And that is my rant for today.
So, what else have we been up to, sir? What else?
Well, there's Borderlands. Borderlands. In between the Borderlands, I think there was more Borderlands.
Borderlands.
Tekken 6. I did play some Tekken 6 and everything, which I think is a great game, but I'm like a friend of mine's, Kaylin, and I have discussed it. We played all the Tekkens. I mean, we played all of them hardcore until about 5. 5 I still played, but I just wasn't as hardcore as I used to be. 6, I played. And it used to be a point of Tekken I tried to learn the in and out of every single character. And 6, I was like, there's about 4 characters I want to play, and those are the only ones I'm going to mess with, and I won't care about it. So, I guess I'm not just as hardcore. I'm a casual gamer now for Tekken. There's nothing wrong with that. But you get those people online that was like, I'm better than you. You should come back and play me. I know I beat you 18 times. But, you know, I was just practicing. You should try playing me now. You know, I'll be serious. And I was like, seriously? Are you like 8? They probably are. But I was like, are you like 8? you got, that's how you get your jellies off? Just beating on people who are not even in ranked matches? Why don't you play ranked matches then? Oh. because people in your rank might beat you? Is that it? Is that how you feel? That's what you do? Oh, okay. I don't care enough about it anymore. So,
yeah,
that's pretty much it. And after the Tekken 16, and which, you know, I don't think it sounds like Tekken, with Church's Chicken being all over the place.
They blew Church's Chicken up in this game. Why is Church's Chicken, like, plastered on everything? I know they sponsored it, but, I mean, they even had a coupon. Explain this to me, why they would do this. They have a coupon for Church's Chicken in the back of the Tekken 6 instruction booklet that expired in, like, September or August or something, 2009 or some shit.
I'm not surprised by it being expired, and I'm not surprised that a lot of people probably didn't know that coupon was in there due to the fact that most people who pull out a game
don't read the instruction
manual. They don't need the instruction manual because they already know. All I got to do is put it in the system, get the controller working. I know how to play it because everything has a tutorial on it.
Yep.
Two, no one's going to look at the back of the instruction booklet to see the Church's Chicken coupon. Three, not that many places. Well, there's a lot of places, but not too many people have Church's Chicken all over the place. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking about Tekken and beating somebody's ass. I'm not thinking about, beating ass and eating Church's Chicken. Life doesn't get any better. So, I don't think that. I mean, I can understand the sponsor. And they probably got a lot of money. Both companies probably got a lot of money. Because, you know, subliminally, you run around, you beating someone's ass, and you keep seeing a Church's Chicken up there regardless. When you go up, you're going to think, hey, let's go to Church's Chicken. Not knowing why, but you're just going to go out and get Church's Chicken.
My problem is, how you going to be in Hanmaru, which is in Japan, and they got damn Church's Chicken all over the place?
Because don't you know Church's Chicken is international now? We go around and mess up people's cholesterol levels at any place.
Oh, my God.
That's why it's going to be at.
Heart attack in a box.
What else? You want Church's Chicken?
You seeding Terry and playing a fighting game to eat Church's Chicken.
They all over the place. You want Church's Chicken? We got fried chicken, teriyaki chicken. We got glazed
hot sauce
chicken. We got every chicken you can ever have, plus fries. Now, all of it's going to be sloppy, greasy, and anything.
Oh, and you got corn on the cob. Just slabs of butter just on it. Just slabs of butter.
That's what we're about.
Just hurting, just thinking about that.
When you think of Church's Chicken, you think of Tekken. And when you think of Tekken, you think about ass kicking. When you think about ass kicking, you think Church's Chicken. Church's Chicken kicks your ass. That's what you think.
Yes, when you sit there playing a game of Tekken 6, and your fat ass got to go to the hospital, and your chest start collapsing in on itself, and you're like, oh God, I can't breathe, call 911, and you go to get up, that's Tekken 6 kicking your ass, and Church's Chicken too. Oh my God.
Tekken 6, beating people's ass, sponsored by Church's Chicken. That is why.
What in the world? Like, I mean, I used to eat Church's Chicken, but then I looked and I was like, this is a heart attack in a box. This box is dripping with grease.
I knew a guy who had a heart attack by looking at the building the Church's Chicken was going to be in. He did. That's what a Church's Chicken going to be at? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, it hurts. So, that being said, now I'm not saying that all things of Church's Chicken is unhealthy. But the ones known in predominantly black locations are
yes,
completely
are
filled with nothing but grease.
Grease!
You expect to go in there and get some chicken, some fried chicken, some southern fried chicken, some ham hocks, because you expect that to come with it, because that's how much grease is coming down there. Some collard green, you might as well just sit down. They need to put beds out there, because you're going to get the itis.
You're going to get the itis.
By
like
the itis means, it's going to be, you're going to be so full, you ain't going to want to move. And you're going to lay down, you're going to go sleep. Now, Church's Chicken make a lot of money, because they're dedicated to the college student, because college student might not have that much funds. And Church's Chicken, you can get
it's
a full
cheap.
Meal.
Yeah.
It's cheap. But the thing about it is, you're not supposed to eat there every day. Now, the management at Church's Chicken, special advertiser, ain't no fool. They ain't going to tell nobody, you know, you shouldn't eat here every day. They want to get paid like everybody else. So if you come to Church's Chicken 3 times a day, bring your Tekken 6 with you. We'll have a 360 set up right there. Eat your Church's Chicken. Play some Tekken. Then, we'll send you home. Play more Tekken. Take this box of Church's Chicken.
Consolation for being a guest one number 1,000. Here's a box of Church's Chicken.
I remember telling a friend of mine, so it's like, I got this coupon for Church's Chicken in my Tekken box. He's like, what? Church's Chicken? You serious? He bust out laughing and says, yeah. I said, yeah, it's in the main. The main? Well, so he opened up his. Well, I'll be damned. I got one in mine, too. I was like, didn't you get that game when it came out? I did. I didn't even know it. Now, they should tell people about it. Would you use that coupon at Church's Chicken? I probably would have. Just for that one day. Because, you know, I spent $60 on this game. What's $4 more at Church's Chicken and getting full? But yeah. Then again, all that greasing and everything, you know, I probably got my ass kicked because the controller been all greased up. I'm going to have a heart attack for all the stress levels and everything, talking about why can't I get these moves off and everything. They're going to blame it on Church's Chicken. I'm going to blame it on the controller because the controller shouldn't been so greasy because I eating that Church's Chicken.
So,
back to other things that I've been playing, I guess that's been pretty much it. Yeah,
I think that's about all I've been playing. Well, I've been playing Animal Crossing on GameCube for the new section that we have coming up called Animal Crossing Chronicles. I created a new character named Samus for our town of Tokyo. And I've been playing through and documenting the character's arrival in town and, you know, learning the ins and outs. I just wanted to start a new character instead of using an existing character. Because all my other characters have... my other character has everything built up. She was the first person in the town, so... She got everything built up. The museum's done. She's caught all the fish, all the insects and stuff, so... I just wanted to start a new character and... document that arrival in town, and I think it's turning out pretty well. It won't be available until that new feature won't be available until first quarter of 2011, which is coming up. That will be online probably January 2nd or January 3rd, depending on what my work schedule looks like. But it's done. It's the TMNT issue. So, you know, keep a lookout for that. But the Animal Crossing stuff is interesting. I'm learning to play Animal Crossing again and trying to keep up with it, and it's interesting. They're like, where have you been, Samus? We haven't seen you in like forever. And tell that other human that you know, Rubes, no, I'm sorry, this one's named Lindsay. It's because it's named after me. I actually named this one after me. They're like, tell that other human, Lindsay, when you see her, you know, she should come by and hang out with me because we haven't seen her in like 25 months. And I'm like, there's a reason why I haven't seen you in 2 years. because I don't talk to the animals in Animal Crossing. I know that's like the whole point of the game. You're supposed to interact with your animal neighbors, but that's they say right. The same shit over and over and over again.
They want you to interact with your animal neighbors there because you will not be interacting with anyone offline or online.
No, you're not interacting with anybody online.
Unless they got your code?
No, this is on GameCube.
I know it's on the GameCube, but I'm just saying, this is how Nintendo thinks. You don't want to play online with people. You want to play by yourself. So we give you characters out there so you can communicate with, so you won't have to play with anyone offline. You can play with people right there, simulated animals right there. You can talk to them, right? You can say anything you want to, right? You can say it.
They have a large amount of vocabulary and scripted responses and things, after a while you start seeing the same things over and over and over again.
I'm sorry, but I like to have random conversations about the queen. Such as I'm talking to a friend of mine and everything. It was like, the queen said something interesting the other day. The queen? What queen? Oh, yeah, you're in England, aren't you? What did she say? So, that is the reason why. Go ahead.
But I like Animal Crossing. I like the catalog collection aspect of it. And I like the freedom that they give you in the game. You can do whatever you feel like doing, and... You know, I mean, you really don't have to do anything in the game, and that's what I like about it. I like that aspect of it. And so, I mean, I like that, and I like getting furniture for the house, and, changing the house around and building up the house. And so, I mean, it's pretty fun, but, Nintendo, really. that's kind of ridiculous. So, that you can't, like, really interact with other people in the game. I mean, because other people can come to your town and stuff, but it's really kind of ridiculous how it works and all. So, I much like once they finally got the Wi-Fi part right in DS. That part I do like, when you can have multiple people in the house and doing stuff. And, you know, you can have two people on screen at the same time and all. That's actually fun. But, I don't know, it's kind of crazy that, you know, you can't do some stuff in the game. I don't know. I remember starting up the original Animal Crossing, and I remember when that was all I knew, and, you know, now having played the DS version so much and the Wii version, it's like, yes, Nintendo, you probably should get this right. This is, like, I expect more from Animal Crossing now, I guess. I don't know. But I'm waiting on that 3DS so I can get maybe Animal Crossing 3DS. It depends. I'm really, really, really up in the air on getting Animal Crossing and getting 3DS. Because that Animal Crossing had better make some steps forward. This better not be another City Folk on Wii. Where they would take one step forward, they took about five backward. In terms of features and design and stuff. Like, really, there better be some growth in the series on 3DS. Is all I'm saying. And if there's not, I want to see what the features are like. Because this is not a day one buy for me. So, I want to see reviews. I want to see what people are saying is in the game. I want to see what is, you know, what's going on with it before I buy it. Because I'm not going to buy another City Folk for Wii. I'm not buying another one of those. That game was just trash. It looked better than the DS version, but it was practically the same game. And then they went backward on their feature set. Like, it was kind of crazy. They just went backward, and I didn't like the fact that I had to start all over again. And not being able, I could import my catalog, but I couldn't import my money. I couldn't import that I had saved up and all that. I couldn't import that, or at least copy it to an account or something. I had to start over on building up my house. I had to start over with catching everything. Well, I mean, which that part I understood that you would be, you wouldn't have to worry about that, but
I believe they will never let you transfer your money.
No.
They'll never let you do that because then, you know, it'd be too easy.
It was too easy to make money in Wild World.
They'll never let you start with a house built completely or collecting all the items because, you know, Animal Crossing, they pride themselves in that. That's what they do.
Well, my problem with that was, do not make me work for Nook again. And it's the same sequence of damn events.
I don't think they
can. Working for Nook.
They just keep doing it. So what they should have did was, they should have allowed you to select certain items that you have so you can bring it with you. And you transfer it in. They allowed that. I mean, since you're going to say, you know, you can take this and put it here, that should allow you to do something like that. Or your whole entire character. What you're going to do, if you already paid off, say you've already worked with Nook and everything, I can understand, you know, you maybe bypass that. And you starting up trying to figure out what I'm going to do. Maybe instead of you being a new resident, just moving there, maybe you've already been there and you're just now starting to get familiar with your surroundings. Something like that. But I say, what's the point of having a game saying, you know, you can transfer stuff over here, but you're not really transferring anything.
Yeah, that was my problem. It was like, okay, you can transfer your catalog, but you can't transfer anything worth anything. So you still have to turn around and buy all that shit again anyway. Like, I was like, come on now, Nintendo. This is ridiculous. And then, to top it all off, you go to the city. The city is a complete and utter waste. It was a waste. They could have taken the space that they used to make the city and add to the surrounding game. Because the city was a waste. It's 20 minutes of going in the city to do stuff, and then it's done. You're done in 20 minutes. I mean,
not living in the city.
Yeah, you don't even live in the city.
Not moving towards the city.
No, nothing. You can't stay there. You can't do anything there that you couldn't do in your little town. And then what really made me mad was that, well, I liked the addition of the Gracie thing where she had the sets in her shop, but it's too expensive. I mean, yes, you can make money easily in Animal Crossing in the summertime. You can't do it in the wintertime, so if you like me and you start your game up after Christmas, you can't. It's going to be about 6 months before you can even begin to start catching stuff that makes you money, you know, knowing how the game works and all. Oh, it made me so mad with them. And then my thing was, I was like, well, why y'all sitting here adding this piecemeal crap in the city? You could have added the feature, and I had thought about this. They could have added a feature in the city where you rent out, you start out as a small-time a landlord, okay? You save up your little money from the town. You go from your town to the city. You save up your money. You buy an apartment building, all right? Or you buy a house or something, okay? Then you rent the house out and set contracts with the other animals in the city, okay? Such as, you can have a 3-floor or 5-floor apartment building, right? You get animals who move in and out because the animals move in and out of your town. So why the animals couldn't move in and out of the apartment building? You set a certain rent for them each month. They agree to this landlord lease for, I don't know, a set amount of time, 2 or 3 months or something like that. You do like a lease for them, all right? You set a certain amount, 300 bales a month or 400 bales a month or 500 bales a month, something like that. And each month, like they do with your account for the city, and they do your account for the bank where you put money in and it draws interest at the end of the month, and they send you the little mail thing that says, oh, you got 31,265 bills worth of interest for the month. Thank you for banking with us or whatever, right? Why can't you have, you know, the animals come in and do that, and they pay you the money and put it in an account for you, and you go pick up your money every month or something like that? Or they could even mail it to you. But my thing was, and also, in addition to this, you could have set up, like, in your each apartment, you could put in certain apartment necessity items. Like, you know how they have the toilet in the apartments? I mean, you know how they have toilets that you can buy in the game? You could have a kitchen set, and it could even be set up, the apartments could even be set up like the houses were in Wild World, where you had the 4 rooms and you could set up the rooms however you want. You could have something like that, set one as a bathroom, one as a kitchen, you know what I'm saying? Like a real live living experience, okay? And your job would be, and this would keep people coming back, because your job would be, okay, I'm going to set up this apartment and put carpet and wallpaper on and put a toilet and some living things in there and show it to a prospective animal customer who comes by and they want to rent this apartment. Okay? Like, you have your animal characters come over to your house and they, like, look around your house and be like, oh, I don't like this house layout because it looks like crap. So you get, like, 2 stars or some shit. Well, then you have them come by the apartment. They look at the apartment. They say, okay, yeah, we like this apartment, we want it, or I want it, okay? And they can even have the animals living together. You could even rent it out to more than one tenant. But you see what I mean? Like, this is, it's involved, but that could have just made Animal Crossing, just blew it up. Like, that would have made Animal Crossing so much more of a game. Just adding that to the city alone would have made that, like, awesome for the game. But they just decided, hey, we're going to have you go to the city for 10 minutes and you get your shoes shined, you go see a show, you talk to some random animals in the square, and you can go into Gracie Grace, and that's about it.
Yes. Because the way Nintendo see it is, we want to make it simplified for everybody. So everyone can get everything on equal terms. So a 5-year-old must be able to do it, as well as a 35-year-old be able to do it. Regardless.
Yeah.
With small explanations. What you're asking for, ma'am, is something that should be on the Sims games. So,
yes, it could have been in the Sims. I could see how that would be a Sims edition.
And I would. I wouldn't be surprised if Sims had that or it didn't have that. Of course, you know, it's still, I mean, they haven't had it yet, if they didn't have it yet. But I'm just saying, that's more of what hands-on or what you have your characters in Sims do as a console Sims.
Yeah.
Now, the one on the PC Sims and everything, they might have that as their occupation. They will do that automatically. So, you can check it with them, but still.
And also, they could have made you a licensed Happy Room Academy agent. Oh, and you could go in and look at people's houses and say,
because, you know, there's too many mean people, especially Americans. Too many Americans. That's true. House looks great and everything. I give it a. It looks bad, man. It just looks bad. So someone do something crappy, it's like, it looks great.
And you could. And the thing is, they could have, like, a little form in there. And you could, like, submit stuff on the form and sign it with your character's little stamp. And you could have a personalized stamp that you could make down there at the. At the Able Sisters.
You're asking an awful lot from Nintendo for $50.
I mean, you could make this game worth $50.
What you're asking for, ma'am, is a game that should be costing $60.
Now, my thing, though, is this would have been the next natural step for Animal Crossing.
Nope.
It would have been the next natural step, or at least some of that. Make part of that be part of the series. And make Animal Crossing move forward. Because at this point, we're still playing the same game that was released in 2001 or 2000 in Japan, called Animal Forest.
Jeez, you're still playing the same Mario game since... Let's see, Galaxy is pretty much as...
Yes, it's Mario 64. Yes.
I mean, why would you think it was going to be any different?
You could even start producing your own music tracks. Because they got a little music track thing in there for the town tune or whatever. So you could, like, hook up with K.K. Slaughter. He'd get him open up a studio or whatever. You could go down there in your little studio. He could even set up his little studio at the coffee shop. You go downstairs in his little studio. Make your own music tracks like they did with Mario Paint, because you could do that. Mario Paint wasn't even that big of a game. You could make your own little animal tracks and play them on your radio and sell them to the other animals. And the animals could come by the studio and say, hey, I heard this new track on the radio. So-and-so came over, you know, Patrice the Ostrich had this track on her radio, and she said it was hot. It came from you. Can I get a copy of it? And you say, yes. And if they want it, then you attach. You could have, like, a library of stuff. So you could have, like, your stamp, personalized stamp for your real estate stuff. Or you could have, like, your music tracks in a little library thing. And you could take your music tracks and they say, yes, I would like a copy. So you'd be like, okay, here's a copy of my song. And then, and you mail it to them in a letter, encouraging talking to the other animals.
So let me get this straight.
Oh, this could be so hot.
You're going to go to the studio, make you a song.
Yeah.
Play your song on a radio.
Call it Human Life in an Animal Town.
And then sell your songs out the trunk of your car.
You're selling it from the studio. You're selling it from your. And look, KK Slider could call it Tota K Records. Tota K Records.
So KK Slider becomes Dr. Dre, pimping out your music all over the place.
Making beats. I'm serious. This could have, like, been so awesome. And I'm like, Nintendo, could you hire me, please? Because I could blow y'all up. I could make y'all stuff look so good. I got so many ideas for Animal Crossing. Having played the series since 2003, I'm like, come on, y'all. You can add stuff to this. Blow this up. This could be a hot series. This could be what would make the series come back and draw more people in. Now, they probably couldn't do it. They would not be able to do it on the handheld version. It would have to be on a console version because handheld is too small. You can't, the cartridge size and data size for the cartridge is too small. You wouldn't be able to fit all of it on the cartridge. But, I mean, You could do it. You could do it. And then look, you could even be, you could be like the animal. You could be the Animal Crossing entrepreneur. Like most of these celebrities these days, they got a music line. They like musicians. They got a clothing line. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could even make your own clothing line, sell it in the Able Sister store. Because you can do that right now, actually. You're not selling it, but you can go right now. You could go in there and put your design up, and the animals might be wearing it on the street or whatever. Okay? But take it a step further. You make your clothing line. Because this is what I do when I make patterns in Animal Crossing. I always put, like, I have a signature thing that says, you know, Rube's Wear. That's my signature thing is Rube's Wear in the little town. And it's always has a little design on it that says, you know, this is made by Rube's. Okay. So, like, well, at least in my original town, it was like that. My very first town in Animal Crossing. But you could even sell your designs, like sell them on the street, open up your own little shop, go in the shop and resell stuff that you get. Say you go to Nook, you order some product, right? You take your product back to your store. You sell things off. You even sell off your own designs. You put it in the store. The animals come in. You set your little time that you're going to man your thing. But that would be a little hard to do because you would have to play at a certain time every day. You would have to play at a certain time. You'd have to set your time hours, and you would have to play at the same time every day.
And you have to be in there.
Mm-hmm. And your character would have to be in the store.
And wait for... Mm-hmm. Computer to randomly decide it's going to send
people
out
in there, and that's the only problem
buy
with that.
Something with that.
Yeah, but though you can go to the auction house, they do have the auction thing in City Folk, which nobody even understands how that works exactly. They had a little auction thing where you could auction off items that you have, and you could bid on auctions and stuff. But it's kind of like eBay, but Animal Crossing style. But they're not supporting the thing. They're not doing anything with it. And then they explained to people how exactly it worked. But they were like, here, use WeSpeak. You should use WeSpeak. Talk to people. Tell me how one of the main features of this game works with the auction thing instead of forcing a peripheral on me that you're not even going to use. You're not even going to support after this. Nintendo, that's shitty. But I'm just saying, like...
I think for the game that you're designing, not for Animal Crossing... wouldn't be called Animal Crossing anymore. And it wouldn't be on the Nintendo system.
I would change the name.
It wouldn't be on the Nintendo system because it's a little bit too much involved.
Well,
Nintendo's designed for you to spend maybe 15 to 20 minutes on certain games. 15 to 20 minutes max a day.
Yeah.
Especially Animal Crossing. That's what they figured. With what you're talking about doing, they have to spend hours doing it.
Yes.
Before they do anything else.
But I spend hours playing Animal Crossing. See, I completely defeat the purpose of Animal Crossing.
Yes, but
because
a lot of people don't do that.
Because Animal Crossing is designed for... You're right. It's designed for minute to minute. Like, not minute to minute, but like, you know, like 15, 20 minutes at a time. You go in, check in with your town.
Maybe a couple times a day. That's it.
Yeah. You go and check in with your town. You see what's going on. You pick up your mail. You go sell some things. You go see what's in the store. You come back to the house, drop off your stuff. You might talk to some animals, maybe.
What you're talking about is like some MMO World of Warcraft type stuff. You got to be on there for hours upon time, waiting to see what's going to happen. You don't want to get off. You sit down. You go get you something to eat. You go back to see what's going on. Did you miss a customer? What's going on? Did Dr. Dre buy my stuff? Who is this stuff? KK Sly, you been selling my stuff? You ain't been selling my stuff? Man, you gotta put my stuff out there. You ain't promoting me right. I'm leaving this label. I'm gonna start my own label. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do all that. And you gotta do it within 45 minutes. Oh, that's not enough time. Yeah. I gotta keep them continue on. So then your time goes from 45 minutes to an average of 4 hours. Then 4 hours increase to 8 hours because you're trying to make that money. And 8 hours turns to 12 hours.
I try to make that money in Animal Crossing now.
So 8 hours become 12 hours then because, you know, you got all the stuff to do. You got your clothing line, your record sales going out there good. Now you're trying to own a business. Now you got your own business out there. So you're going from 12 hours to 16 hours. Now the only thing you want to do is take naps and wake up and see how much money you're going to be making. You got to see if your tenant's paying their rent right. Tenant's paying their rent? Oh, I don't want just animal. I don't just want computer generated characters living in here now. Why don't we get real people living here? You know, try to help the people out. Make more money that way. Got to set it up. Oh, they ain't paying their rent. We're going to kick them out down the street. Throw all the stuff out there. I ain't throwing this stuff out. I'm going to get this stuff and I'm going to sell it. That's what I'm going to do.
Automatically then, debit it from their bank account.
So then it ends up, you know, 18 hours ain't enough for me and everything. I'm going to go sleep. I wake up. I got to get back on here. I'm going to do that. Telephone ring. We're a bill collector. We come get your stuff. Fuck you. You ain't on this game. So you go on back to the game. You go on back to the game. You play the game and then next thing you know, there's things on the news talking about someone's addicted to Animal Crossing and this may be the sign.
We're going to have an Animal Crossing MMO. So That's what we need. We need an Animal Crossing MMO and it won't even be called Animal Crossing. You're right. It wouldn't even be called Animal Crossing because I wouldn't even call it that. It's no longer Animal Crossing in spirit. I mean, in spirit it is, but it's not. But, like, I would call it animal...
In spirit it is, but it's not.
I would call it animal, like, animal life or something. Something like that, animal life. And then, like...
Do you understand that little kids will probably quit school just to play that game?
But look, though. Look, I'm all about making money in Animal Crossing to begin with. Have you not seen my How to Make Bells seminar? I mean, I teach you how to make bells. Bells. Okay? Thousands, hundreds of thousands of millions of bells. I can make you 2 million bells in a week in Animal Crossing in the summertime. I literally could make you 2 million bells in a week. In a week time in Animal Crossing. In the first one, fishing. In the summertime, fishing. All you need to do is fish. And that's it. Fish and catch insects, but really fish. Because it's hard to catch insects in that one for some reason. I went back and started playing again. I was like, my God, it's hard to catch stuff in this. But okay, fishing and insects. Okay. You don't even have to do the money trees. Because you got to have money to do the money trees. And that's more trouble than it's worth. So, you may or may not get the tree planted correctly. And, you know, you got to already know what you're doing. So, that's the easy way. In Wild World, catching insects in the summertime. You can fish all you want. You might catch a shark or something, maybe, but you can get sea bass constantly. But what you really want to do, catch insects. At night, catch beetles, and scorpions and tarantulas, and butterflies during the day. Because you're going to catch the beetles at night. But catch butterflies during the day. You can make $5,000 in probably 5 minutes in Animal Crossing just from catching a butterfly. Because most of the expensive butflies are 3,000 bells each. So if you get an inventory full of that, 3,000 bells times 15 slots, 45 slots. And I mean, that's $45,000, 45,000 bells. Multiply that by 10, do that 10 times a day, $450,000 right there. See what I mean? So in a week's time, you can make all kind of money. I'm all about making money in Animal Crossing, okay? I'm all about making the money. All about making the money. But I'm just saying, like, they should make the game, they should enhance the game for those of us who have stuck by Animal Crossing, who play Animal Crossing, who supported the series, and feel like, and this is most people who play Animal Crossing, this series should be beyond this point by now. It has been almost 10 years. Actually, it's been 10 years since the original game came out. The original game came out in, like, 99, 2000 in Japan. Okay? 99, 2000. We are still playing the same game from 1999 and 2000 right now.
And that's because Animal Crossing was never made for hardcore gamers.
No, it's designed for casual players.
It's only meant for casual players. Do something. They ain't even got to play every day if they don't want to and anything. That's what it's designed for. Now, the hardcore people, the people who have OCD and everything, you know, they got to keep having it. They got to get back in there. We got to get more stuff. We got to keep getting more stuff.
Yes.
Oh, this game is too simple. Well, I'm still playing it. And you need to do more stuff. There's got to be more stuff out there. You got to keep giving me more stuff. It's like crack. I got to keep having it. It's like, I got to keep having it. I got to get more stuff. You got more stuff? I ain't got enough stuff on there. Ain't going to never be enough stuff. You ain't never going to have enough stuff. Oh, you want me to move on and play another game? There ain't another game out there. Let me collect my stuff as your stuff in there. So you got to put more stuff on there. That's what you got to do. So Nintendo's like, we're not going to change that much. You're either going to bitch and moan about not having enough stuff, or you're going to bitch and moan about nothing changing. but we really don't care if you're bitching and moaning because you're still paying us.
Yeah, so, well.
That is it.
Yeah.
And you're not going to go play anything else because it's not anything else except Borderlands while you collect that much stuff.
Yeah. And I'm kind of mad with Borderlands because I really want to have more guns on the console version. I mean, not more guns, not that they give you more guns, but more space to hold guns.
I don't care for that much space because, you know, if you got that much space, when you're playing with multiple people, the game doesn't pause. That means there's a chance of someone killing you while you're looking in your menu. If you go into an area where you're looking through your menu and no one's there to kill you, then it might take 20 to, I've seen people take 20 or 30 minutes waiting to decide what they're going to pull out next. So, I was playing with a friend of mine, and we were playing with complete total strangers, and the person's like, hold on, let me find out what's going on, let me fix my weapons. So, we went out, and we've completed all the missions in the doll headlines, before he's like, alright, what we doing?
What?
We're killing Mad Mel. Oh, hold on, I got some weapons for that. What have you been doing? I was trying to figure out if I want to use fire, or you want to use acid.
At which point I'd have been like, just pick one.
Yes.
How hard is this, most people? Come on.
But a lot of times they sit there and it's like, for instance, I know there's only four main weapons I use. I have a bunch of them on there just for, you know, I decide, you know, today only I feel like shooting people and watching their eyeballs come flying out at me. So I'll use nothing but lightning weapons just today. Today only I feel like blowing stuff up, so I'm using nothing but rocket launchers. Today I'm going to use nothing but purple weapons. I don't know why, I just have those random things. Most of the time, once I pick those four, I don't think I'm going to switch anything else unless it gets to a situation where
you don't even have that many weapons.
There's a guy. What?
You have like 8 weapons with one character.
Well, the higher the level the character is, the more weapons I might have. Depends on how many orange weapons I come across of. If it's orange and it's something I know I'll eventually use, I keep it. I might have a sniper rifle. I might have a volcano, which, you know, of course does fire damage. Well, volcano scope isn't as well as a cyclops.
No.
And so if something's further out and everything, I was like, man, if I get to it and everything, I might stop, you know, switch to a cyclops. Well, I might go back to the volcano, but just for that time, I might use cyclops.
Yes. So,
I might switch to that, but I won't do it often. But it also depends on the character.
So. Yeah, I mean, like, for me, though, I mean, I carry, on average, probably about 30 weapons. I carry about 30 individual things in my inventory. Now, those weapons do include class mods and, well, not grenade mods, because I have a class mod for just about every situation. Whatever they offer for a class mod for a character, I probably have one of each. And then I have a grenade mod equipped, and that's more than likely going to be transfusion. Okay. But I have like 31 weapons. It'll say like 31 out of 45 or 31 out of 48 or whatever. And like, I will have a weapon, because I use elemental tech weapons. I'm always using elemental weapons. Always. So, I mean, it's very, very seldom do I use non-elemental weapons. I mean, and I try to swap my elements around so that I won't be caught with, I'll be fighting like a lightning badass and have nothing but lightning weapons on. Like, that's not going to help me in any way, shape, or form. So, like, I'll use, it really depends on the character most of the time. Because, like, with my hunter, I have the trespass skill on. So, my hunter will have trespass on and will, if you have non-elemental, or if the shot doesn't do an elemental effect, it will go straight through his shields and hit main life bar. So, I mean, but otherwise, though, like, the other day with my siren, I was just swapping back and forth. I couldn't decide on what I wanted, so I was swapping back and forth through all the elements. And for one section we were going through, I might have had on all acid weapons and a plague bearer class mod, which for the siren, because I was playing with the siren. And for the siren, I mean, plague bearer plus acid equals good. So, Like, I had on a Play Bear class mod. I had a Liquid Wrath Caustic Sniper Rifle. I had a Vitrolic Crux shotgun. A Pestilent Defiler revolver. And what was the other thing I had? Oh, I think maybe my Iridian Glob. I had a glob gun. That's the Iridian thing. So, I mean, and then, like, the next section, I switched all fire weapons. So, I would have a Combustion Hellfire, Firefly class mod, maybe Cobalt Volcano sniper rifle, an Incendiary Matador, and, like, I don't know, a fire repeater or something on. And then, you know, then I would just swap around otherwise. But to like, lightning and explosive. But, I mean, I like that. And I try to keep enough weapons on hand. So I'll have one element of each type of gun. And there's, what, 8 types of guns? 10 types of guns? Mm. I don't remember. There's sniper rifles, SMGs, combat rifles, repeaters, revolvers. What else?
Shotguns and rocket launchers.
Shotguns, rocket launchers.
Sniper rifle.
I got sniper rifle.
That's it.
So it's 7 types of guns. So I have 4 of each. Well, there you go. That's 28 guns right there. Plus a couple of, well, and not even that all the time. Because, like, I might not have a rocket launcher that's all element. If I have a redemption, if I have a devastating redemption, or I have a big redemption, or something like that, you know, I'm not going to have anything with element on it. Because I don't need to. I got a redemption. I have a redemption. Why would I need, you know? But, so, really, that's like 27, 28 guns right there. Plus a couple of class mods. That's 32 right there. So, I mean, yeah, I keep about that many on me. And then, you know, if I find something, I always pick things up to sell, even though I might not necessarily need the money. Because you can die so easily in that game, and they charge you to bring yourself back, that, I'm going to need that money. I'm going to need to make that money. So, and also use it to get the challenges for selling stuff and that kind of thing. But, and I sell, on average, I might find 5 or 6 guns, and I'll sell them. I do not sell gold weapons unless they're far below my level. Because I can find a use for a gold weapon. I can. I can always find a use for a gold weapon. I don't care what it is. I don't even particularly care for revolvers. But I sure can find a use for a Savage Anaconda if I come across one. I don't particularly like them, so I don't use them all the time. But, I mean, Pestilent Defiler? Yeah, that's staying in my inventory. So, I don't know. I mean, I tend to like the gun part of Borderlands. But, you know. So, sir, we're going to wrap this thing here up. What else would you like to talk about? Anything?
I think we covered everything.
Yeah, I think we did too. All right, well, this here's been episode 20 of the Editor's Weekly Podcast. Keep a lookout for us. I know it's not necessarily a weekly podcast like it's supposed to be. But, you know, stuff kind of gets in the way, like jobs and life and stuff. So, you know, keep an eye out. We try to have updated episodes and get on and talk about stuff. So, we're going to say goodbye now. Keep an eye out for us. Look at our blog. We try to update that fairly often. I try to do it, have something interesting to talk about. And I've been meaning to put up some editorials. And but we just put up the new first impression of Yakuza. I just put that up. So, you know, read that. Let us know what you think. Hit us up at our emails. They're all over the website. I mean, you can't miss them. So, you know, hit me up. I'm at editor@gaminginsurrection.com. What are you at?
From Dungeon, from gaminginsurrection.com.
Yeah, it's From the Dungeon, and it's like all one word. Yep. And we're also on Twitter, @gaminginsurrect, and It's not Gaming Insurrection. It's just Gaming Insurrect because they wouldn't let us have that really long name. Hit us up. We're not on Twitter as much, but we do have access to Twitter and we do check it. So, let us know if you got something to say. Anyway, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Keep an eye out for us later.